Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's talk about something that I find completely, completely perplexing. We've seen the stats, we've heard the horror stories, the people coming across, or unfortunately in the wrong ways, having an accident with people who are not insured. Lives are disrupted, repairs that cost a fortune, no payouts, no coverage, no cover. To help us try and understand this phenomenon and what drives this, we're joined by Michael Paschett, who is the host of All Things Motoring on DSTV channel 189. He's the creator of Change Cars podcast. Michael speaks to drivers, to insurers, to mechanics, to everyday motorists, and we wanted to try and understand what is driving this behavior on South African roads. Michael, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Morning to you. Morning to the listeners.
So, Michael, from what you see on your show and your podcasts, how common is it that South African motorists are driving without valid insurance? Is it a small minority? Is it shockingly widespread? What does it look like?
So sadly, the exact opposite. It's definitely not a small minority. It's two-thirds at minimum. It's estimated that literally one in three drivers in South Africa are insured. Now, you asked the question, what's driving it? Unfortunately, always it's going to be lack of enforcement of a law. If you take a first world country, Australia, Canada, any European countries, insurance is compulsory. And think about it, and I say it respectfully, it should be compulsory.
Of course it should be. It's almost an absurdity that it's not.
Absolutely. So let's look at South Africa and our public transport system as an example. I don't know the exact figure, but there are roughly 250,000 taxis in South Africa, the minibus taxis, carrying a vast percentage of our population to work every single day. Fundamentally, these taxi operators, factually, and I'm not picking on anybody, it's just a fact, are uninsured. And right there is where I believe the problem starts. If you're not insured, why should I be?
How is it possible that a taxi that is transporting people surely it should be compliant for any licensed driver, let alone a taxi?
So it's interesting, and I'm very proud to be on your show this morning, but in your intro, you mentioned that we've got a podcast called the Keep Your Change Cars podcast, and we've touched on this very, very recently, that taxis and certain people are allowed not to be insured. Now, I'll give you a real-world example. You're driving, God forbid, a million times, you hit a pedestrian, you hit a car that is of tremendous value. What actually happens? Basically, you get off scot-free. So who is the victim of that is the people who are insured. If you've got one-third of the people paying for two-thirds of the people, your premiums, no doubt, are increased. And this is the most beautiful conversation to talk about, because we can do it in many, many parts. The insurance companies are trying their hardest, I think, to get the government to enforce it. You know, we've all seen that movie in America. You get stopped. What is the first thing the police officer says?
Your driver's license and insurance.
It just shows that you are compliant. So what we're saying in South Africa, I need a license to drive. I agree. Tick the box. But for the rest, I can do what I like. And I think it's completely, completely unacceptable. And that's why it's so nice to be discussing this topic this morning.
Right. Michael, does this mean that my insurance premiums are higher because the insurance companies, and it's not their fault, but have to build in the fact that in a third of the cases, they might have to pay for something they wouldn't ordinarily have to pay for?
Absolutely, no question. So I'm not sure anybody who's watching how afraid they are with insurance. For example, say you and me are both insured. You're insured with insurance company A and I'm insured with insurance company B. They've got something called a knock for knock. Hmm. So it just so happens that it happens to be your fault. But in this particular case, my insurance will pay me, your insurance pays you. They don't claim against each other. Let's flip that around. I'm insured. I have an accident. with you who's not insured. My insurance company has got a massive liability in this particular case. They pay 30, 60, 200,000 Rand, whatever the case may be. They can't claim it from somebody. My insurance premium is 2,000 Rand a month, and they're paying out 200,000 Rand. So the only way they can do it is they get their actuaries and they say, one third of the cases, we're going to be hitting a knock for knock type of scenario. The other two thirds, we've got to make sure our premiums are effectively three times more expensive. Sad, but true.
Do you think that a law would fix this? Because it's a loaded question, because in South Africa very often we might have magnificent laws, but unless you're prepared to enforce it, they become pointless. And if so, how would they enforce it? What are the penalties in other countries driving without insurance?
So again, I never want to pretend to know the answer to the second part of the question in terms of what are the penalties, but I would imagine you'd be arrested on the spot. If you're in the United States of America and you can't produce insurance, you would either be arrested on the spot or your car will be impounded. But to answer the first part, super easy, and I'm proud to say, remember I mentioned we've chatted about this on our podcast, because this is real and this is pertinent. My view is every single year you need to go renew your car license. And we're not talking about your driver's license, which is every five years. But I want to go renew my car license. It should be linked to insurance. Mr. Smith, Mr. Kumalo, Mrs. Rogers, you don't have insurance. We cannot renew your car license. And go one step further. Your license has got it. Sorry, apologies. Your insurance has to be in place for a minimum of 3 months prior to renewal, because otherwise it's very easy. I find the insurance company 2 days before I go to renew it, and I cancel it 2 days after I renew it. So very, very important and very easy, in my opinion, to enforce. There's only one question: who has the will to do this? And unfortunately, the government clearly doesn't. If in 30 years post-democracy we don't have insurance, well, there's your proof.
Why? This is a no-brainer. It is an absurdity that you aren't required to insure your vehicle. Why is 100%. It that this has been allowed? Is it the lack of will? Is there some form of corruption, which I can't even really see why?
It wouldn't be corruption.
Because who benefits from? I can't quite figure this out in my mind.
It's just a complete lack of understanding, in my opinion, of what makes a country of first world standards. So very, very simple. I, as a citizen, want to feel protected at all time. I believe if I take a bus in downtown London or downtown Stockholm or downtown Toronto, that I'm protected in the event of. In South Africa, you wouldn't be. So it's a fundamental lack of understanding on the part of our government and authorities, I believe. But I will go one step further. If it's perceived as a cost, so let's look at our country and the situation. A lot of people say, but in all fairness, I can't afford an additional XX per month. Let me give you a nice compromise. How about balance of third party fire and theft only, or forget about the fire and theft component, how about balance of third party, meaning you don't want to insure your asset,
right,
but insure the
other
component persons. That affects me. Correct.
Yeah, and then it reduces it significantly, I would imagine.
So again, let's look at it from an insurer's point of view. Client wants to insure the component that we've just mentioned, they're only paying the other party. Your vehicle is a complete write-off, your vehicle is stolen, your vehicle is damaged by a tree, you are not covered. I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying, how do we reduce the cost
for
to make
people,
it viable
because
for
I see,
the government to say?
Right, I see a few of our listeners, Mike, saying it's affordability. And then Susan saying this, a Bolt taxi bashed into the back of my car in a bumper-to-bumper traffic 2 weeks ago. He is not insured. Surely taxi companies must have insurance.
Absolutely, and that's what I said with no arrogance at the top of the interview.
Yeah.
I get into a taxi every single day, 250,000 minibus taxis, an ever-growing amount of Uber and Bolt, which I fully support. I think it's excellent for our economy.
But,
I think it's excellent for our public transport system. 100%. But all it comes down to, very, very simply, is play by the rules. If I open up a restaurant, surely I need to abide by the Department 100%. Of Health hygiene reason, protocols, etc. But you know what is crazy is it's actually a lot easier than it seems. You just need somebody with the will to drive it.
Michael, I do need to leave it there. We've gone to the top of the hour. It is 7 o'clock. I need to go to news. But fascinating interview. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Michael Pashard is the host of All Things Motoring on DSTV, and he is the host of Change Cars, a podcast.